individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering Radio Show here on the Para-X Radio Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie, and happy Tune In Tuesday.
Tune In Tuesday.
Tremendous. Talkative Tuesday. How about that one? That's a good one.
That sounds good to me. Let's do it. It's our Talkative Tuesday.
It's our Talkative Tuesday. Yes. And we have a good subject tonight. So I think hopefully everyone will tell us their stories and we can relay them on the air as they type them into our chat board.
Yes, we'll get to that in just a second. I hope it's a fun chat room again tonight.
I do too. And, you know, you and I were both talking before the show how we both felt like today was Monday for various reasons and realized this afternoon, oh my gosh, we hadn't done an ad for this week's show. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, for some reason it was in my head that it was Monday. I don't even know how I'm here right now.
Right? I know.
I should be doing something else right now because I would not think it's Tuesday. I don't know. Weird.
I know.
The weather is throwing us off.
The weather.
We won't talk about the weather, but
no,
I think it is.
No, but when it's, you know, 80 degrees warmer today than it was, let's think about this. So about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was out looking for the owls on a Tuesday and it was like 20 below. So it's 80 degrees warmer today than it was then.
Yeah.
So isn't that a wild thing to think about, you know?
It is. And there have been big swings like that in short amounts of time, too. I mean, not necessarily 80 degrees, but 60 degrees for sure. So anyway, it's enough to knock you off your game a little bit.
It is. And, you know, the snow mold is out. Allergies are prevalent. I just, you know.
Do you have allergies to that stuff?
Yes. You know, I was wondering why I was getting stuffed up and my eyes were itchy, Bernie. And my sister said, well, have you looked at the ground where the snow is melted? And I was outside today and I was looking and it looks like, you know, webby stuff on it's not everywhere, but it's enough places that anyone who might be sensitive to it, ooh, not a good thing. So anyway. So there's, you know, just another thing going on, but busy. Did you have
you
a busy
were just
weekend?
Doing it.
I know I sure did. But
you had an investigation, didn't you, this weekend?
I did. My first investigation for a couple of years, and it was, it was crazy. I went with the Sim crew. They didn't have enough members to do this old inn down in Wisconsin that they'd been to before. So they reached out to, us alumni members, as they call us. And so I went along and was not disappointed. It was crazy active. Within the first 10 minutes, Jerry saw an apparition and yelled and said, you know, Nicole, Steffi, come here, you know, and I got to him and it was like a wall of energy just hit me and it was like tingly craziness. And, you know, the apparition had disappeared at that point, but her energy was still there. You know, she was still there. Craziness and all night long. I mean, it was just from the get-go, it was nuts. Crazy active place, I'm telling you. And they're refurbishing this old inn. It is beautiful the way they're doing it. It's a smaller inn, but there's probably 7 or 8 rooms up there, and they're just it's gorgeous. You know, I mean, they're making it really cool, but there were some smallpox people there, like in the it was built in the 1870s. And so when smallpox was an epidemic, really, you know, back around that time, they sheltered people there to keep them away, like in quarantine.
Oh.
So people passed away there. The railroad is right there. There's children seen there. And, you know, we just had some crazy experiences. Nicole had some dreams that were amazing. It was crazy. It was crazy. It was not, you know, fun. I can't wait to see the data. Poor Jerry is going to have to go through 99% of it because he has the time to do so. I do have my voice recorder, so I'm hoping to get through that. But we'll have a big reveal there in a few weeks. You know, they want us to come and do a public reveal, so we will, because we got a lot of stuff. We had one of those Kinex cameras, which amazing, can I just say. And one of the rooms, there were three spirits all at the same time, and they all showed up on this Kinex, and it was just absolutely amazing. Absolutely
cool.
Amazing. So, yeah, I can't wait to see some of that video. And then, of course, we had video cameras running all night in different parts. So, yeah, poor Jerry. He has to go through, I don't know, how many hours and hours and hours worth of video. I'll try to help him a little bit, but I am just crazy busy, you know, so I don't know if I really have time, but we'll try. But yeah, did not disappoint. Amazing. Would love to do it again sometime. It even unnerved me a little bit, which it's pretty hard to do. It's pretty hard for me to be unnerved on a paranormal investigation. So yeah, it was just so active, but fun.
So,
very interesting.
Well, Jerry in the chat room is saying that she was attacked in her dream. Who?
Nicole.
She's one of the
investigators. Yeah. And,
got it.
I don't know if we should talk about Jerry. It's totally up to you, but yeah, it was just these spirits were mean to her in her dream, you know, and it was two spirits that we knew were there. And they kind of honed in on the events of the day, you know? And so, yeah, it was a little unnerving. And I know when we woke up, Jerry had heard, so we all slept in the same room because for whatever reason, we all just landed in the same room, and there were a couple beds, and Nicole and I shared a bed, and Jerry was over there, and he heard a terrible, you know, blood-curdling scream in the middle. I don't know what time it was, around 2-ish, I think. I was sound asleep. Nicole next to me was having this horrendous dream because she was moaning in her sleep, and then he woke both of us up, and he's like, "Oh my God, did you hear that?" And I said, "No." And he's like, "You didn't hear that blood curdling scream?" And I said, "No, but my heart was racing because he was, you know, he just yelled at us." Oh my God. And then Nicole started telling us about this horrific dream that she'd been having. And it was the same thing repeated over and over. And, you know, the next morning she said to us, she said, "You know, I almost wanted to say, we got to get our clothes on and we have to leave because I don't feel safe here anymore. We need to leave. We need to get out. And I'm like, you know, if you ever feel that way again, you need to tell, you need to say, because we shouldn't be there. I do trust people's intuition. And if that's the case, pack up, get out. I mean, we'd been there for hours and hours and hours anyway, you know, it was fine. But no, she went back to sleep. And, you know, and so she has this dream that's just, wow, unbelievable. I'm glad I wasn't dreaming it. Let's just put it that. So, yeah, it was fun. It was really fun. Very interesting. So, like I said, I will know that it will, you know, it'll be fun to see all the evidence. And I can't wait to present it to them. The manager of the place actually investigated with us for a few hours and told us some of her experiences. And, wow, she was totally amazed by the technology that we had with us. And, you know, when she was watching the stick figures on that Kinex vision, she was like totally shocked and amazed and is like, "Oh my God," you know,
cool.
No, there is no nakedness on sim investigations. Can I just say?
And that, of course, to everybody that's not in the chat room is referencing what is happening in the chat room right now.
Yes. Yes. Oh,
gone
my
off
goodness.
The rails.
Like that always does. Cause we have such good listeners and they're always in the chat room. And they're always saying crazy things. So,
oh, dear.
But yeah, I think in a place like that, sometimes it's safer when everybody stays together in the same room. I just feel like there were some dangerous things there, I think, but nothing like demonic, or I didn't feel like anything was horrific. I felt like there were spirits there that like to be mean, you know, like obviously those two teenage ones that were given Nicole the hard time in her dream. But mm-hmm. I didn't feel threatened, really. I just didn't want to have three spirits hanging around me when I was trying to sleep. You know what I mean? And I thought if there were more numbers of us in the same room, maybe it would be better. So anyhow, so yeah, no, it was really fun. Didn't disappoint. Like I said, can't wait for the reveal and to show up. You know, the owner came in and talked to us about his experiences, and it'll just be really fun. And nobody else has investigated this old establishment except for the Sim Crew. They were there 2 years ago and they asked us back. And so, well, not me. I'm just an alumni now, but they asked Sim back and they needed us. So they called on us. So yeah, fun.
Cool.
So how about you?
I'm trying to type and, now talk at the same time.
Hey,
so yeah, missed a letter there. Sorry, Dave. Yeah, it's been busy. It's interesting with my work how things come in waves. And I had someone from California contact me today, or was it last night? My days are running together. I think it was last night. And needing help with a negative attachment. And it's interesting because I've gotten quite a few emails, you know, through my website lately, and a lot of referrals, you know, people that live here that refer me to someone that doesn't live here, but, you know, needing help in whatever mm-hmm. way. And so I've gotten some interesting cases, not paranormal, it's spiritual in nature, but a lot of cases from around the country again. So it's kind of mm-hmm. this little wave again happening, which is interesting how that happens. You know, it happens with other things too. It's not just my work. I know that, mm-hmm. but it's cool when it happens that all of a sudden there's this little flood of activity that comes in from wherever. And so I'm, you know, looking forward to working with these people and helping them out. And, but it's just interesting, you know, how that happens, where it's,
yeah,
you just get this little flurry of activity that there's a lot of similarities to it. And then yep. it'll fade away and you're just doing your thing again. Then some other flurry of activity will happen that there's a lot of sameness to it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah. Well, so it was cool to, you know, hear from people that found me somehow and, you know,
well,
believe.
And
I
are you thinking
them.
That because we're coming up to the, spring equinox again, you know, I mean, this is kind of a powerful, crazy time where the light of day is equal to the darkness. And they say that's mm-hmm. very powerful. And maybe that's brings out the supernatural things that are happening and spiritual things. And I mean, mm-hmm. we know the veil is thin, right? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting with some of the contacts that I've gotten recently. And, you know, I think too, the pandemic is, it's wearing, of course, it's wearing on everybody yeah. in some way, shape, or form. It's just, you know, people are at the end of their ropes, and we've just, you know, come out of winter for some people. Some people are still in it. I get it. But, you know, it was hard winter, you know, after having mm-hmm. a year of really some big, massive changes, and then, you know, having winter where we are, you know, even more isolated. I think it really does accelerate things that are happening, or it, you know, amplifies things that are happening, or, you know, yeah. whatever. There's all sorts of things that can happen. So I think people are getting to the point where, you know, they're trying to hang on till it gets a little warmer, or, you know, till people can start, you know, getting back to some of their routines again or whatever. But anyway, it's interesting, you know, that there just seems to be this little flurry of activity now again. And there kind of was going into winter. I think people were panicking, mm-hmm. you know, going into winter, that there was, you know, this looming time ahead of them of really kind of having to stay inside a lot and not, you know, not being able to socialize, of course. And that's a scary thing. And then anything else that's going on just gets, you know, amplified and brought to the mm-hmm. forefront. So anyway, Karen in the chat room said things happen in threes. Yeah, this is happening in threes and then threes and then threes. It's weird. There's a lot of activity coming through with that's got the similarities with people from all over the place. So, and I'm happy to work with them, and I'm glad that I can, you know, do this remotely. And I know a lot of people can do this kind of stuff remotely. So that's cool. We can do that, you know, and like I said, a couple weeks ago, I had this flurry of activity from New York, just all these, you know, people were contacting me going, hey, you know, my friend worked with you. It was great. Can we set up a session? I'm like, yeah. And, you know, some of the stuff going on is awful, you know, and I feel for people that have some of these situations happen. One of the things that I get referrals on, because there's not a lot of people that work with people who have been sexually attacked by spirits. And that becomes, it doesn't stop. They don't stop. And, so there's not a lot of people. I mean, I'm sure some people do it. I've done it a lot, and I know how to work with this. Unfortunately, I mean, who wants to do that, but who wants it to happen to them either? No one. It's awful. Anyway, so there's been a lot of that too, that comes up anyway. So I'm able to help, which is great. So,
Yeah. There's just a lot going on. And to think that it's been a year. So it was a year ago. We were talking about this. I was in the office last Friday, and several people had come in to swap out they were getting new business cell phones, right? And so they all wanted to come before the big trial started this week, you know, because it's crazy downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually saw three employees and we haven't seen each other for a year. Isn't that crazy? Because everybody's been working from home, you know, and that's tough. And I think we'll be at home for the foreseeable future, really. I mean, not only do we have the COVID thing still going on, but the trial thing is happening too. And until it's safe to be downtown, our security people are saying, if you come down here, building is open. We want you to park in the garage. You know, we'll give you coupons so you don't have to spend $16 a day or whatever, but park in the garage for heaven's sakes so that you're safe. And, you know, just don't park anywhere on the streets or anything. So yeah, it's a little bit scary. It's a little bit crazy. So it was fun to see them, you know, and we were all like, oh my God, you know, and too bad we couldn't hug because we all sure wanted to, but we didn't, you know. So a whole year. It's been a whole year. It was a whole year ago our company said, okay, everybody work from home. And, you know, everybody thought it would be a few weeks, you know, maybe a month or two, you know, maybe till May. Okay, well, now it's been a whole year, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolute craziness.
Yeah, lots of change over the last year. Last year at this time, we knew something was coming, but we didn't know what it would be or how big it would be or how long it would last. So, and I think that's a good thing that we don't know.
Yeah,
because I know that I would have wanted to know that we'd still be a year later in this process. So, no.
Me either. So,
yeah. But we're making it.
We're dealing, and it's fine, and we're going to come out of this better than ever, and pretty soon we'll all have our vaccination, so it'll be but we've proven to ourselves that we can work from home, yes. And so, you know, what I say to, you know, everybody is, our parent company is like slashing their rental square footage down in the Miami office by like half, because they feel like even after this is over, everybody has realized, hey, we can work from home. We're just as productive as we are working in the office. And hey, we don't have to drive, you know, those ungodly commutes or stuck in traffic, or, you know, it's nice to be able to, you know, log on in, you know, leggings or whatever, pajamas, I think a lot of people do. And are they ever going to really want to go back to the office even 3 days a week? I don't think so. And I kind of think our company is going to be doing the same, and maybe it'll be all just, everybody has a desk, not their own desk, but when you come in, you just, you know, hoteling, you know, I don't know. It's really an interesting time. You know, it's really interesting.
Well, and if you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I don't know but I was thinking about just how many people have jobs that are strictly on a computer and how that has shifted from 30 years ago, you know, 40 years ago, whatever. I mean, because there was a time not that long ago where nobody had a job on a computer, you know, and everything was done manually or for sure. And there's so many jobs now that are because of technology that didn't exist then, and I know that. So anyway, it's super interesting, isn't it? How many people have jobs that literally that's it. You're on a computer, and how interesting that is. Just,
it is.
You know, that we have that opportunity. And Karen is saying, except essential workers. Well, yes, I know. There is a lot of people out there working, and we need them, and we thank them.
Absolutely.
So many people who are on all sorts of front lines out there. Anyway.
Yeah. And so we should start our topic. We kind of got sidetracked there with all this other stuff.
Sidetracked.
So we're talking about Ouija boards tonight.
Yes. Yes, we are talking about Ouija boards today. Whoops, there
so,
we go.
You know, first of all, the first thing I want to say is, so we pronounce them Ouija boards, but, you know, really, it's Ouija, right? And it's two words, really. The thought is that it was the French is yes. The German yes is ja, is ja, Ouija boards. But we all call them Ouija boards. So what is it? Is it Ouija or?
I don't think that that actually is true, though. I don't think that that's actually true. The two words together. I know it's a myth that's out there, but I don't believe that that's how it got its name.
I did look up a lot of history, and it really is not. But still,
it's an interesting theory.
Interesting. Yeah. But is it pronounced Ouija or Ouija or Ouija? I mean, because we sure pronounce it Ouija, Ouija boards. Karen is saying Ouija. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I haven't seen that. If in the correct, I mean, I would suppose it just depends on
maybe where you are in the world.
Yeah, maybe that's it. You know, I was looking up some interesting, just a little tidbits of information, because do you remember we were at the Crypticon a few years ago down in Kentucky?
Yeah.
And there was a booth there. It was the Talking Board Historical Society. And so I went over and spoke with them. I ended up buying a board from them. They found boxes and boxes in an old warehouse of the board games, you know, the boards, not the planchettes. And they were from the 50s or something like that anyway. And they had the board on one side, and on the back you flip it over and it was a checkers board.
Oh, really?
So it was really sold as a game, you know, but it was like, ooh, look at multi-purpose. You can do a talking board or you can play checkers with your friends. So there we go. And so originally I believe it was called a talking board or a spirit board. And so I went to their website just to look, because they had some interesting, back then they had talked about the woman that came up with the name for it, and they had made a memorial for her. She ended up moving to and living and dying in Colorado. So they had a historical marker for her out there, a nice big tombstone, headstone, whatever you want to call it. And so I thought that was kind of interesting, but they gave a little bit of information on they've done a ton of research, you know, this is a nonprofit group. They've done a ton of research on making sure that they have historically accurate information. So I feel like I can trust them. But they said that the talking boards they've been around in one way or another since 1848, which is around the birth of modern spiritualism. And the most famous of the talking boards is, of course, the Ouija or Ouija board, first introduced in 1890 by the Kennard Novelty Company and sold today by Hasbro. There was a lot of competition, apparently. I'm getting this from their website here. A lot of competition from many manufacturers who produced hundreds of different colorful talking board variations. And, you know, they've gone through their revolutions, you know, since then. And let's see here. I'm trying to find the name of this woman here.
Is that Helen Peters?
Nope. I switched pages. That's my bad here. Switched pages, and now it takes, I don't know why it takes their website a while to swap in and out. Helen Peters Noseworthy is the name of this woman, known as the mother of the Ouija board, and she's responsible for giving the board its mysterious name. And they found her identity in a series of letters printed in the Baltimore Sun when the founders of the Ouija board took their grievances with one another public on, you know, who, you know, created this board and the name, because they were trying to get a patent on it. And the man who claimed to invent the board and his friend and business partner, or the man who patented the Ouija, stated that a woman by the name of Miss Peters, who is Bond's sister-in-law, was known as a strong medium. And she had asked the then unnamed talking board, asked the unnamed talking board what it would like to be called, and the board spelled out Ouija. Yes. And then she asked what the term meant, and it responded, "Good luck."
Yep.
I don't know
if it's good luck, but you know.
I don't. Yeah, who knows what it is? But
yeah. I heard that same thing. Yep.
Yeah. So that's how they say, and that was in some letters published back in the day to get their patent. And, but the board was, that was the Ouija, not, the talking board was around before that.
Right.
So anyway, it was kind of a neat little story, and it's a pretty impressive, headstone that they made for her so that she didn't get lost in the shuffle of history.
Yeah. And you know, this Charles Kennard that was the one who brought it to the forefront, the back of his tombstone is a, Ouija board.
How about that? Sounds like something fun to do on a Saturday night at the cemetery.
Or go to the graveyard and try to use that.
Bring your own planchette.
But you know, in my research too, they say that, you know, these have been the first people to use something like a talking board. I'm sure it was different, but it came out of China in like 1100 AD. So, I mean, we're talking 900 years. This thing has been running around, you know? Interesting stuff, really interesting stuff. And then, you know, they talked about, and when I was reading, is that, you know, when tragedy happens, like World War I, for example, and then World War II, I mean, Ouija boards sold like mad, right? Like 50,000 in the 70s. So in 1966, Parker Brothers bought the Ouija board from, I believe it was the Kennard Trading Company, right? Or whatever, Kennard Novelty Company. And they promoted them, you know, and they sold 2 million of them by the 1970s, 2 million of them, you know, and that was when Vietnam was happening. They, you know, they correlate all these bad things happening with use of the Ouija board. So I wonder if a lot of people are using it now because of the COVID, you know, and all these bad things that are happening now. Interesting thoughts, right? But yeah, 2 million sold in the 70s. And then The Exorcist, of course, came out in 1973. Right. And she was playing with the Ouija board. So, yeah, interesting stuff. And is it still sold at Target among the board games? I mean, I guess I think so.
I don't know. I guess I don't know Target specifically, but I know it's been in game stores for forever. I guess I don't know anymore because I don't go into a lot of stores anymore. So I have no idea.
Well, and then there was a mass, for some reason, in 2001, there was a mass burning of the Ouija boards. I didn't really catch what promoted all that. But, you know, and then they talked about the different religions, like the Wisconsin Synod of the Lutheran Church said using a Ouija board violated the Ten Commandments. Okay, well, I don't think there's any commandment by Moses that talks about you can't use a talking board because, you know, they didn't have them back then. So, yeah, wow. It's really... Yeah. You know, really a controversial item. And, you know, we know that they can be very dangerous.
Well, they can. Yeah. I mean, and it's a gamble. I mean, you can use it a million times and nothing happens or nothing bad happens. And there's some comments in the chat room, too, saying, you know, I've never had one work. You know, a couple of folks have said that. I think Karen and Kat both have said it's not worked for me, and a lot of times it doesn't happen. You know, it just takes one time for it to work and one time for it to go south and not be a good experience. So, you know, it's a gamble. If you don't know how to, you know, take care of yourself and keep yourself safe, then you probably shouldn't do that or any kind of divination work. So Anyway, Sherry in the chat room said, talk about the table. I will. After the break, I'll talk about that, and I'll post it. I'll post it on our Facebook page for those of you that aren't in the chat room, and I will post it in the chat room if I can. Maybe I'll do that on the break. Mm-hmm. While we're on the break, I'll post that.
Mm-hmm. Dave is saying, thou shalt not have a common spirit, apparently, unless it's their Holy Ghost. Yeah. Well, kind of, yeah, for sure. Yeah, so people are saying it hasn't worked for me. Some people are saying it has worked. Oh, it works. It absolutely works. But you know what? I think because we're halfway past the hour, it's 8:29, I think we should go to commercial break now, and then we can get back and do all of this in just a minute or two. So this is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network.
...that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
What happens to a ghost when their home is torn down? No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their own haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At Para-X Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and we're reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn or the abandoned spirit cat of Benjamin Rush. So please, please, let a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
Para-X.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman Shunt, psychic medium, Dark NOLA Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network, and we finally got around to talking about our topic tonight, which is Ouija boards, and we've had some interesting chat in the chat room and some stories shared, and anybody else that has a story to share, go ahead and pop it into the chat room, and we'll get to it here. One of the things that I started talking about last week, and I said I'd save it for this week, is this table that I found on Facebook. It's not mine, and I will not have access to it. I will post this on Facebook after the show because I just can't do two things at once, apparently. And but I posted it in the chat room. And so I'm a member of this group that does upcycling, painting things, whatever. And so this gal found a table on the side of the road. And this comes up a lot. People get good deals on pieces of furniture, and then they upcycle them and keep them or sell them or whatever. And I think it's a fun group to be in, so I love it. And this gal found, she goes, I found this cute little table on the side of the road, and I'm looking for suggestions on what color you think I should paint it. You know, because that's one of the things people do in the group is like, hey, what color do you think I should paint it? And I'm looking at this table, and so I put a screenshot of this post. I scribbled out the person's name, and I'm looking at this thing, and all I can see is the image of a Ouija board, like, burned into it. And so I can imagine this Ouija board is sitting on this table, burning itself into the top of this table. And whoever was monkeying around with this thing in their house tossed the whole thing, including the table, out in the street, probably burned the Ouija board in the fireplace and tossed the table outside, right? And so this gal drives by and sees this little table and is like, oh, neat, and picks it up. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I thought it was funny because I can clearly see it. And I, like I said, I posted the picture now in the chat room, and I'll post it again. But I mean, it's clear to me. I don't know if anybody else in the chat room has taken a look at it, but I think it looks like a Ouija board, and it looks like it just has burnished itself right into the top of the table. So anyway, someone's doing some hardcore Ouijaing on that table.
Yeah, apparently. Interesting. Or do you think somebody maybe painted it in there and then decided they didn't want it, so they tried to get rid of it?
Tried to sand it out. And it just kept reappearing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a Ouija board. Can I just say?
I can just imagine like this Ouija board sitting on this table, and because of how often it's used and the energy in it, the energy is like burning its image into the table. You know, that's what I felt like. So if I said it in a way that it's the printing, because I think a couple of people in the chat room are like, it's the printing, is it? No. I mean, like the energy of the board burned itself through the board into the table. So anyway, that's what it felt like to me and what it looked like. And I'm like, okay, good luck with the table.
Yeah.
Although if I had it, I totally would keep it and I would use it in my Halloween open house.
Yeah,
I probably have
would.
To open up or something.
So you should. So I wonder if this woman that has it will post photos later. You know, it'd be interesting to see if it comes back, like even after she sands it down and, you know, finishes it to whatever finish she wants to have.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look it up and see if I can just find her and say, hey, how'd that table go?
Yeah.
How's it working for you?
Yeah. Because it's, pretty interesting.
I should have just offered to buy it from her instead of having her finish it. I just say, hey, there might be some bad energy with that. Can I come get it? Wherever you live, I'll come get it. Unless you live 2,000 miles away, then I'm not going to come get it.
Yes.
I'm not doing
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Anyway. So Karen in the chat room is talking about how she says, my brother was doing the Ouija board with a couple who had a child upstairs sleeping. They contacted an entity that said it would prove to them it was real. The child started down the stairs and asked who the man in their room was. My brother has never fooled around with it since.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good story.
That's creepy. Because the kid didn't know.
No.
They were doing it.
And some man shows up, you know?
Whoops.
Spooky, spooky. But, you know, as a paranormal investigator, a lot of times, if there's a problem and there's spirit and there never has been before, we run into the deal where, you know, the kids, the teenagers or whoever in the house has been playing with the Ouija board, you know, and they've opened something up. And I think you've run into that as well.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, it's a very effective divination tool. And I think if you're going to play with it or use it, you need to know how to take care of it, you know, and close those portals down.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting tool. You know, I had an experience when I was helping another paranormal group. Tim and I were called in to help on this case. And through a case that we worked on that was really, it was bad. I mean, it was one of the few that I could probably say was demonic, you know, this entity. But through that case, there was a friend of one of the kids that lived there, the teenagers. And he had a Ouija board, and he had been playing with it by himself. You know, he had been using it by himself at home and really had started to suffer some pretty negative consequences, was getting really depressed, and it was bad. And apparently it was his grandfather's Ouija board. And he, I think, committed suicide. Anyway, I can't remember some of the details, but it was bad. And so now the mom, the dad's daughter, the kid's mom, had this Ouija board in her possession, but he would sneak it out and play with it. And so he told her he wanted to get rid of it. He's like, can we just get rid of it? And she was like, absolutely not. But he kept feeling compelled to go and use it and work with it. And it was making him really not good. And so he had contacted us and said, how do I do this? I can't stop doing this. I can't stop this and I can't get rid of it. And so we said, it's up to you if you want to get rid of it or not, but we'll come get it for you if you do. You know, if you decide to do it, you let us know and we'll come take care of it. And so he ended up getting it out of the house. He snuck it out. And when I was told that we were going to go get it, Tim and I have a spirit guide that we share. I've said that before. And so the spirit guide came in and said, Heidi's the only one that can handle this. And I had two people going with me to get it. And because for whatever reason, it felt like this weird, like Mission Impossible thing to get this thing snuck out of their house and whatever. And so spirit guide is like, Heidi's the only one that can touch it. It's very dangerous if anybody else touches this. The kid can give it to Heidi and that's it. No one else touch it. I'm like, okay. Like, I'm not sure how I feel about that, but I guess we're going to follow direct orders. So we went and picked it up, and I took it and I put it in the trunk because we're going to bring it back here because this was outside of the Twin Cities. We're going to bring it back to the Twin Cities and deal with it and then dispose of it. And I put it in the trunk and I get in the car, and within 2 minutes, I have this weird rash on my hands that, no, I mean, because I'm the only one that touched it. And it looked like my hands, like I got in a fight with a squid or an octopus, right? Mm-hmm. I had these weird red circles of different sizes all over the palms of my hands and my fingers. Mm-hmm. It was the weirdest thing. And they didn't itch, nothing. It was just these red circles all over my hands of different sizes. They were size like coins, like quarters, dimes, nickels, pennies. That's what it looked like, except it was just the circle, the ring. Mm-hmm. And they were all over my hands. And that was a little unnerving. And then we took it actually to a really weird little park thing that was off the side of a parking lot. We were able to park the car and do this. And I did the ceremony to close it, you know, banish anything that was attached to it, close it. And it was weird because right at the end of the ceremony, you know, we had this whole thing laid out in this kind of weird little dirt parking lot. And right at the end, this huge flock of birds made all this noise and flew right up. We don't have no idea where they came from. They flew right up from where we were because there was a little pond area there. And they flew, made all this ruckus, scared the hell out of all of us. And it was like they just flew up into the air. And we knew that this thing was done. It, for mm-hmm. whatever reason, it was like this gust of wind and these birds and everything, and it was crazy. But yeah, that was pretty wild. And then the stuff in my hands lasted about 2 weeks and eventually kind of faded away and went away on its own.
Yeah. What did you do with that board?
We disposed of it.
Yeah.
It had to go.
I couldn't remember.
It is gone.
I remember you telling me the story when it happened, and I couldn't remember what happened to the board.
Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah, so, yeah, you really got to be careful with these things, you know? And do you know anybody who really uses them, though, as, like, a divination tool?
No, they're ridiculous. I mean, they work, but they're just so... There's way easier and better ways to communicate with spirit than a Ouija board. Well, like, my goodness, that takes forever. You got to spell out every word. I mean, I just talk to them. They talk to me, and I just, here's what they're saying. That's easier. I'm not going to use a Ouija board for communication. I'd rather use something like tarot or something like that. It gets a little bit more across faster.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, for sure.
It's like trying to use a butter knife to cut down a tree, you know, using a Ouija board to communicate. So just my goodness, takes forever. So I don't know anybody that does it, but I suppose
you could.
Sure you could. It's just, it's slow and painful.
Yeah.
It just takes forever. I mean, I'm used to fast and furious communication now, so I have no interest in working with one, but.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, Karen is saying it sounds like ringworm on your hands.
It looked like it, but it wasn't.
But you didn't go to the doctor. It just kind of faded away.
No, I didn't.
Karen wants to know, did you burn the Ouija board or what'd you do with it?
No. No. I don't, it was some, we had to, I channeled a spirit to do a banishment and closing. I was doing it and then I realized I wasn't in my body. Someone else took over and did it. And so there was some things that they said and did that I don't remember. And then we didn't break it apart into pieces. We didn't burn it. I wrapped it in something that I brought. Now I cannot remember for life of me because I didn't do it. And then we threw it away.
In the garbage.
Yep. Threw it in a dumpster.
Yep.
But it was, I had to write something on it, some kind of symbols, so that it couldn't be used even if someone fished it out. But we weren't supposed to burn it.
I was just going to say,
Yeah, so nobody could use it because it had stuff written all over it and scribbled on it. And it was, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Wrapped in a bag and threw it in the dumpster.
Yeah. You know, Kat is saying, how is a particle board with letters on it more a portal than a K2 meter?
It's not more. It's the same.
It's the same. Yep. Just like we use K2 meters, that's another thing. We have to know how to if we're asking, talking to the spirits, we need to know how to shut them down when we're done too. Mm-hmm. You know, same thing. I just think that because it's marketed as a game, people are unaware of what they're doing, and that's the danger in Ouija boards.
They don't take it seriously.
They don't. It's just a game. It's just a game, and it does. Yes, it does. You know, my mom and my aunt used to use them a lot. And I shouldn't say a lot, but they did. When they had questions, they would get together, and man, that planchette was just flying around that board, and it gave them answers that were always, most of the time, came true. You know, so interesting. I mean, it's pretty interesting. Dave is saying these conclusions all seem to be based on the theory that you're contacting those on the other side. Every time you use a board, science has a different take. Well, of course, you know, they say that our subconscious movements will move the planchette. You know, there's just a lot of different things. Kat is saying, do you close and cleanse every piece of equipment you try to use communicating? Nope. I don't. I mean, do you, Heidi? No.
I close every session.
That's right. We close every session.
Yeah. And I clear my pieces, my tools. But when So I do every session, which I include all my whatever I used. So, I mean, for paranormal investigation. And at the studio, I do every time, every day, for sure. So... pieces of equipment doesn't matter. Flashlight you can use for paranormal investigating, same thing. It's a different form of a Ouija board. It's something that you're using to communicate. And Karen said, I wanted to go back to your comment, Karen. You said, I don't think they're slow. I think there's the reason I said they think they're slow is if I'm getting a sentence from my spirit guides, it happens in less than a half a second. I already know it. It's like the whole sentence is downloaded into my head and I know it. If I get the whole sentence through a Ouija board, it takes a while because you have to spell out every letter and then get the whole sentence that way. That's why I think it's slow. So that's what I meant by that. So I'm just clarifying.
Yep. And then Karen is saying the subconscious is a powerful and mysterious thing, which is absolutely true. And it's nothing to poo-poo. Kat is saying if you freak out and believe it's some demon coming through, then it's dangerous. There's danger in the belief.
Right.
Yeah. But the thing is that it's people who are asking spirits or asking somebody to come through, you know, they're saying, hey, can Aunt Helen come through? It could be some spirit with, you know, not a very nice, you know, what they want to do, you know? Intention. Dave is saying the subconscious theory seems similar to contacting your higher self. It is.
And, you know, a lot of times when people use a divination tool, they're looking for answers, and it's usually answers that they already know. They just are looking for some kind of validation. And so, you're contacting a version of yourself, your higher self, your subconscious, your unconscious mind, you know, whatever, that wherever you're connecting, it's, you know, you're looking for answers that you already have within you somewhere. And a lot of times we are looking for some kind of sign or something that really is just saying, just confirm what I already know. You know, give me something that I already know and put it into something external so I can say, yeah, that's what I'm going to do, or that's what I believe, or that's whatever. So, but with contacting spirit, I mean, if you are contacting an external entity, you know, something that's not you, it doesn't happen every time either, you know, so I don't want to make it sound like, you know, every time you use a Ouija board, you're going to contact someone.
No.
Someone's coming through. No. A lot of times nothing happens.
Right.
And that can happen a million times. You work with it and nothing happens. I made one. I think I talked about, about this last week? I made some because I didn't have one. And so I'd write it out on paper and turn a little plastic cup upside down and we'd use that and nothing happened. Like, I'm sure my spirit guides are looking at me like, what are you doing? You know, back then, like we're right here. So anyway.
Yeah, it's true. Kat is saying, so your higher self is dangerous. I guess it could be if you believe either things are after you.
Well, but again, you're not always contacting your higher self. you know, or you're not working through your subconscious mind. You know, there could be external entities that come through, you know, good, bad, or otherwise. It doesn't have to be always bad. Most likely won't be always bad, but
But
could our higher selves be, our, you know, our subconscious self have criminal thoughts, evil thoughts? Of course, every one of us could. So, but it could be something external. It might be your subconscious thoughts. You might have some dangerous subconscious thoughts. Who knows?
Maybe. Maybe. You know, we just don't know for sure. I don't know. There's just so many ifs, ands, or buts with the Ouija board. All I've ever said is, you know, if you're going to use one, be careful. Make sure you shut it down. Even if nothing is happening, make sure you know how to turn it off, I guess is what I'm saying. Turn it off. And if you can't do that, don't even try it, you know?
Right.
It shouldn't be marketed as a game board. That is for sure.
Well, but then how would it, see, I think it almost has to be, because otherwise you couldn't put it out there because you can't prove anything. You know, if you're going to say it works and it's real, then prove it, you know? And so they have to sell it as a game because there's no way to prove that, you know? So it's, oh, this is just fun and games. It's just for family entertainment or whatever, however they say it, you know, that's because they can't prove it. You know, because how could you? So,
yeah. Well, they don't have to sell it down the Monopoly aisle, though, is what I'm saying, you know?
I think they do if they're going to sell it, because where else are you going to sell it? Automotive?
Well, you could sell it as spiritual. Well, no, but it doesn't need to be.
But there's not a spiritual section there either, you know, so they wouldn't be able to put it with something like that. I don't know. I think that's the way it's supposed to be, and that's the way it goes, and just people be careful, or maybe nothing happens, and then it's just a fun game you play at slumber parties or when your friends come over and when we can have friends over.
We forgot about the slumber party issue. Yeah, everybody plays them at slumber parties.
Yeah, and I think Kat had mentioned light as a feather, stiff as a board. Between those two things, when you're at a slumber party, you've got it covered.
Yeah, light as a feather, We've done that a few times.
Good.
Dave is saying perhaps we are all a part of a larger external consciousness, and these messages arrive through that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we are all connected.
Mm-hmm. We most definitely are.
So.
It's Karen saying there's more money to be made in the game aisle. That's true. Than an alternative bookstore that stocks things like crystals and tarot decks. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's owned by, you know, Parker Brothers or whoever owns it now. Is it Hasbro or Parker Brothers? I know it's been sold a few times.
I found something interesting too about Ouija boards. This is the Ouijazilla, the world's largest Ouija board. I had to I looked this up because I thought it was cool. So October of 2019, the largest Ouija board was constructed. It was approximately 9,000 pounds, measuring 3,168 square feet in area around Salem, I believe. Let's see here.
Oh.
And it was constructed of 99 individual sheets of plywood.
Wow.
In 2019. And let's see here. I'm scrolling to get this thing. It's huge. They made a planchette for it.
I was just going to say, what about the planchette?
Yeah, they totally made one, and it wheels around on the board. And the board, it's constructed 99 individual sheets of plywood. It needed, it was 9,000 pounds without the weight of over 20 gallons of wood stain that was needed.
Good God.
And the planchette is 15.5 feet in length and 10 feet at its widest point, weighing over 400 pounds.
Oh, good God.
But it can be moved effortlessly by one person. I don't know if it's still there. Let's see here.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was brought to Massachusetts, covering the heart of Salem Common.
Oh.
And this was in 2019, so I don't know if it's still there. This article is from 2019. I'll have to look and see. But anyway, I thought that was kind of cool. And like the pictures on there it's huge.
Wow. Crazy. That's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Sherry said, I heard pounds. She was thinking money, like English money. No, weight. It was 9,000 pounds and it was huge. But it was the world's largest. They beat the 2016 former champion. There was a 2016 Ouija board that was a title holder until 2019.
Good.
Thought it was cool. The pictures are impressive. It's monster. Cool. Well,
I mean, that's huge, you know? Mm-hmm. And how many people have to play it, and do they all put their hands on it, or how does that planchette move that's on wheels?
Well, I can't even imagine. One person can move it. They said it's 400 pounds, but one person can move it. But I don't know that I'd want to get caught under that thing if it started moving. Can you imagine you're there by yourself and you start moving it? It starts moving by itself and you get like caught under the wheel or something. Death by Ouija board in a totally different way.
I know. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And Dave is saying, do you think if you drew a huge board, like a Ouija board on football fields and made a planchette to scale, you could ride around on it while getting your answers? Maybe.
I would think so, sure.
Yeah.
How, what kind of Ouija
board? Onto the planchette and see where it ends up.
Yeah, you'd have to, I don't know what kind of a planchette you could use that would roll around on the grass. You'd have to get creative with that.
Yeah.
Karen's asking, did they use it? I'm assuming that they used it. It doesn't talk about how successful it was. It's a limited article. Anyway.
Yeah, Ouija Roomba. Ceiling cat saying.
Oh yeah, I saw that on social media where someone had a Ouija board rug, area rug, and then they said watch out for the Roomba because can you imagine the Roomba turns into a little planchette and opens up kind of portal in your living room.
Crazy, and you don't even know. You know, strange things starts happening, and then whatever. All right, so let's just want to put a plug in for our sibling show, The Calling. This Wednesday, it's All By Myself Wednesday, and Willow chats with Nick and Nikki, who are a part of Paranormal Task Force in St. Louis, and co-founders of Vampire Group. Interesting. So listen in tomorrow night to The Calling at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Should be a fun one.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we are almost out of time again.
I know, I'm looking to see if we missed anything in the
chat room. I bet we did because
chat room. I apologize if we did. There's a lot of comments, and I'm trying to scoot back through
fast and
see if we missed anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just really a fun show, and I'm glad everybody kind of shared their stories, and you know, we shared a few of our own, and yeah, Ouijas are just, they're such a controversial thing, right? Talking boards, spirit boards. So a Ouija board is the same as a spirit board, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking board, spirit board, Ouija board.
All the same.
I would, yeah, even if they look different, I would imagine the point is.
The same.
Yeah, communication. Through something that has numbers and letters and a few probably words on it to make it a talking board.
Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. Well, because it says yes and no too, right? So there's yes on one side, no on the other side.
Hello and goodbye, I think. And
oh yeah, hello and goodbye. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yep.
I haven't looked at one for a while. I mean, I did look a little bit through this research, but I don't keep them in my house.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I just have them at the studio. I have like four at the studio. Some of them I have to get rid of because I've gotten them sent to me, but
yeah. No, and I know Kim with Cat Paranormal always takes them off people's hands too and closes them and gets rid of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people do that for sure. So that's a good thing. So, yeah. So, you know, hey, everyone, you know, Dave is saying you can draw and it'll work, which is what you said, Heidi, when you were young, but it really didn't work when you were using it. But
no, I did. That was a long time ago. But yeah, you could. You could make one, no problem. Just draw it on a piece of paper and use something that will move around smoothly so that you can use it as a planchette.
Yeah. And Kat is saying, don't forget those mysterious symbols that get everyone freaked out.
Well, if that's what you're trying to do, I suppose.
Yeah. Freak them out. All right. Well, goodness. Well, another gathering has come to almost an end. So we want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening and sharing your stories. If there are any troops listening, thank you for your service because we wouldn't be here without you. And stay safe, be safe.
Yes, absolutely. And thanks to everybody in the chat room for all your contributions. We totally appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody listening out there, including our chat room faves, but anyone out there listening, thank you for joining us again tonight. We really appreciate having you here. And thank you to Parax for hosting us, and also for our most amazing producer, Sarge. Thank you for doing what you do every week. And next week, we're hoping to have Kristen Barton back with us, or the week after. We want to talk about spring equinox. So you guys will have to tune into our show next week.
Yeah, it's coming up really fast. Yeah,
it is. I know. Spring equinox is just around the corner.
It is. So tune in next week. Hopefully it'll be about spring equinox. If it's not, it will be some other wild and woolly subject, I'm sure.
Wild and woolly. Yeah.
So good night, everyone. Make it a great week, and we will see you here next week.
Thanks, everyone. See you next week.